I want to focus particularly on verse 4 of the psalm. David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. David here speaks of the Lord's deliverance of him from the fears that had gripped his heart. The psalm, of course, relates to a period in David's life when he was particularly troubled by numerous fears. You notice how he puts the word in the plural. He delivered me from all my fears. And David here is relating to that time when numerous fears had taken hold upon him. Saul had been pursuing him unrelentingly. And he reasoned in his mind that the only alternative to his situation was to flee to the region of the Philistines and find refuge in the court of the king of the Philistines, King Achish of Gath. We're told in 1 Samuel 21 that he fled for fear of Saul. So there was that initial fear, the fear that filled his heart when Saul was seeking after him. And then when he got to the court of Achish, we find there that the people said, is not this he of whom they said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has tens of thousands? And when David heard that, it says he was sore afraid. So there was an increasing of his fear. There was an intensifying of his fear. Not only was he afraid of Saul, but now when he was in the palace or in the court of Achish, his fear was intensified. So this was a time when David had numerous fears, intensified fear, filling his heart and filling his mind. One fear was followed by another and by a greater fear, until David took the matter to the Lord and he found deliverance in the place of prayer from his fear. And that's what he testifies to here. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Here's the background. His heart is gripped with fears, numerous fears, intensified fears, and his response is to bring the matter to the Lord. And the Lord heard him. And the Lord intervened. And the Lord delivered him from all his fears. So here he's bearing testimony to the Lord's deliverance from fear. And surely that is something that we all need to be familiar with and acquainted with. Because the sons of men and as the children of Adam, we are characterized by fear. The Bible has much to say to us about the subject of fear. When we study the Bible, we find that there is a very clear line of distinction drawn between fear that is good and fear that is not good. Fear that is holy and fear that is not holy. Fear that is commanded and fear that is forbidden. And you can see that in this psalm, because in verse 4, David is speaking about fears that were not good, fears that were not holy nor healthy, fears that were unwarranted, fears that were not commanded but rather forbidden, and fears that he had to be delivered from. And yet when you read on in the psalm, you see that he speaks about another kind of fear. In verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So right away there in the psalm, you can see there's a line of demarcation, a line of distinction drawn between fear that is good and fear that is not good. Fear that is commanded and fear that is not commanded. Fear that is forbidden. The fear that he speaks about in verse 9 is a holy fear. It is a filial fear. And it refers to that feeling or that spirit of reverence and respect It is that attitude of heart. It is that disposition of soul in relation to God. And the Bible commands us that we are to fear the Lord. That means we are to respect Him. We are to recognize His majesty, His being, and His authority. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4 says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him." This is a command. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Godly fear. It is that respect, it is that attitude of heart that bows in recognition of the majesty of God, the being of God. And it responds by showing the respect that is due to His name, recognizing the authority that He has over us. The fear of God and the respect for His majesty and authority will manifest itself in the various relations of life. Where God has delegated His authority, you'll find that where there is a God-fearing heart, where the fear of God rules in the heart, you will find that that fear of God will manifest itself in the various relations of life in which God has delegated His authority. For instance, if you take the marriage bond over there in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul speaks of the relation between husband and wife, and he sets out the position of each in that bond, in the marriage union. And he says concerning the wife in the verse 33 of Ephesians 5, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." That's the same word that's translated fear. It is that reverence, it is that respect, the recognition of the headship of the husband. That's what is in view there. And the reason why there's that respect and that reverence is because that the authority of the headship of the husband has been delegated to the husband by the Lord. The Lord has put him into that position, and the Lord has delegated that authority. And so where there is a God-fearing heart, where the fear of the Lord is, it'll be manifested within the positions, the relations within the marriage bond. If you turn to Leviticus chapter 19, Leviticus chapter 19, you'll discover in the verse 3 that this fear of the Lord will also manifest itself in the parental relationship. Leviticus 19 and verse 3, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father." You see there the spirit of respect and reverence within the parental situation, the parental relationship, parents and their children. And here again we find that within the home, God has delegated authority to the husband as the head of the wife. And then within the family setting, both the parents, father and mother, standing side by side, have that authority within the home over the children that is delegated to them by the Lord. And the Lord says to everyone that is a child, and that applies to everyone, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father." There is the element of respect and reverence within the parental relationship. And then if you turn to Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul takes up the theme of the civil magistrate, and he's speaking there of how the Lord has ordained the powers that be and appointed men to rule within the relation of society. And then he says in verse 7, in this context, He says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And so here he's speaking of the relation within society, and the fact that God has appointed earthly rulers to rule over the society of men. And here the apostle says to believers who have the fear of the Lord in their heart that they are to fear, they are to render that fear to the earthly ruler. And the thought there is the respect of the authority that has been delegated to the civil magistrate by the Lord. He has ordained that power. He has delegated that power to men to rule over men within society for the well-being of society and the maintaining of justice. And here we find that fear is manifested. It's manifested also within the servant relationship. 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 2 it is, 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 18. You look at the context, verse 17. Here's the command, fear God. There's the respect of God's being, His majesty, His authority. And then you see how that comes right down into the relationships of life. He says in verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. There is respect of the authority that the master has over the servant. There's a recognition that there is to be an authority in place. And that authority is derived from God. And that's really a very strong argument against atheism. You see, if you have no God, if you have no absolute authority, then you're left with anarchy. Every man does what's right in his own eyes. There's no respect. There's no respect for authority. And we see that happening more and more. Begins in the home, where the parental authority is not recognized. And then that spills out into the state where the authority of the state is not recognized. In the employment situation, because men say there's no God. Where there's no fear of God. Where there's no respect of that majesty and that authority of God. You will find a breakdown. You will find anarchy and disorder. No fear of God. No respect of God. It's the same within the church context. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14. Paul is speaking here about Titus. Verse 13 he says, therefore we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we speak all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. Now, he's speaking of the Corinthian church receiving Titus, who was a minister of Christ, and they received him with fear. And what that means is, with the spirit of respect, they recognized the office that he had as a minister of the Word of God. So even within the church context, the fear of the Lord will be manifested in the recognition of the authority that God has delegated even within the church. Now this fear, this respect for God's appointed authority is clearly distinguished from an unholy and an unwarranted fear. And that's the fear that David is talking about in verse 4 of the Psalm. When he says of the Lord delivering him from all his fears, he's not talking about the fear of God. He's not talking about the fear that is to be shown by the wife to her husband, nor by the children to their parents, nor by the subjects to the state, or the servant to the master, or by the members of the church to the oversight of the church. He's not talking about that fear. And that clearly indicates to us that the Lord has drawn this line of distinction, and He has advised us, He has forewarned us, that there is another kind of fear. A fear that is not of God. A fear that is contrary to the Lord. The Bible tells us what kind of fear it is. If you turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John. First John chapter 4 and verse 18. The fear of the Lord is that spirit of respect and reverence and recognition of who He is and submission to His authority. But here's another fear, verse 18. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And it's that part there that I want to highlight. Fear hath torment. Here's this tormenting fear. A fear that fills the heart with dread, with terror, with torment. It's interesting to notice here that this word torment is used only one other time in the New Testament. And it's translated punishment. You know that parable in which the Lord talks about the sheep and the goats? And He says, of the goats of the unsaved, the wicked, He says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. The word punishment there is the same word that's translated torment. And the thought is that this is penal. This has been brought about as a punishment for sin. This fear. This tormenting fear. This fear that fills the heart with terror. This is the fear that David was delivered from. It's a fear that is the consequence of sin. It first originated, it first reared its head in the Garden of Eden. You remember when Adam and Eve had transgressed the law, that they heard the voice of the Lord coming in the cool of the day. And they went and they hid themselves. And when the Lord called Adam to account, and He said, why did you hide? Adam said, because I heard thy voice and I was afraid. God did not create Adam with that tormenting fear. And the Bible makes that very clear. That is a fear that is forbidden, a fear that's not of God. A tormenting fear. A fear that filled his heart with dread. Not that fear of respect and reverence and submission. But a dread that drove Adam away from God. Tormenting fear was the consequence of sin. Now that tormenting fear manifests itself in various ways. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. The contrast is painted here in that the Lord's people will not have this fear, this tormenting fear. Proverbs 1 verse 33. In the previous verses, Solomon has been speaking about those who despise the counsel of God. Those who reject the word of God and set at naught all God's counsel. And how that the Lord will laugh at them when their calamity cometh. When their distress comes. See that in verse 27. When your fear cometh. Verse 26. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. That's the tormenting fear. that belongs to the sinner, the ungodly, as a result of his sin, his rejection of God. But in verse 33 he draws the contrast and he says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." The fear of evil. That word evil there has the idea of great calamity. It's great commotion, it's great upheaval. When you look at the world tonight, you see the hearts of men, they're filled with this tormenting fear. It's the fear of evil, the dread of calamity. The Bible says that in the last days when men see the great upheaval in the universe, their hearts will fail them for fear. But remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 46. When he speaks of that great upheaval, he says, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be cast into the sea, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we will not fear." The fear of evil, great calamity. Men's hearts are filled with such dread, with such torment. And then the Bible tells us that there is such a thing as the fear of death. Over there in Hebrews chapter 2. What an interesting verse this is. Hebrews chapter 2. And the verse 14. Speaking of Christ and what he has come to do for his people. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." The fear of great evil, of great calamity. Now we have the fear of death. And is that not the picture? Is that not the condition of the ungodly man? The world tonight doesn't want to speak about death. They don't want to face death because they're afraid. They're afraid. They have that fear, that tormenting fear, that dread of death. But the psalmist was able to say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The fear of evil, the fear of death. But Proverbs 29 reveals to us the fear of man. Proverbs 29 and the verse 25. "The fear of man bringeth a snare." The fear of man bringeth a snare. Here's this torment, this dread that fills the heart because of men. Do you remember Jacob had it? In Genesis 32, when he was coming back from from Laban's house, after all those years away, remember how he had to flee because of Esau? And now when he's coming back, he's in prayer. Genesis 32 and verse 11, he prays and he says, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." He's got this dread, he's tormented. He doesn't know how Esau's going to react, and he perceives in his mind that Esau will come and smite him and his family with the edge of the sword. The fear of man had gripped the heart of Jacob, and it became a snare to him. But the Lord overruled. Do you remember the disciples had this same fear in John chapter 20? On that resurrection day, We find that they gather together and they close the door. John 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. This tormenting fear had filled their hearts. They were afraid of the Jews and what they would do. Christ had been crucified, and it seemed as if all that they had hoped in had been dashed to pieces. But now the Lord comes, and he stood in the midst and he said, "Peace be unto you." That's the very opposite of this fear, this tormenting fear. And the Lord said, "Fear not them that can kill the body, but cannot destroy the soul. Fear rather God." The fear of man brings a snare. This tormenting fear, this spirit of tormenting fear, is not of God. Paul tells us that in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." God hath not given us the spirit of fear. This does not come from God. Now, it's clear that the apostle has that line of distinction in his mind. He's not talking about the fear of the Lord, which is good and wholesome and profitable. That fear which is the beginning of wisdom. No, he's talking about the fear that hath torment. This tormenting fear. And he says, God has not given us it. It does not come from God. Rather, it comes from the devil. But it is a fear that can only be conquered by the Lord. See that in the latter part of the verse, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but. And the thought is here, he has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what God has given us. And what God gives us is the very means that overcomes the spirit of tormenting fear. The spirit of power. The power of God that subdues that evil spirit, as it were. That tormenting fear that purges it from the heart and from the mind. The spirit of love. And we read in John how that perfect love casteth out fear. When the heart is shed abroad with the love of God, when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, it casts out that fear, that tormenting fear, that dread. And then the spirit of a sound mind. A mind that is instructed in the Word of God. In the truth. In the will of God. You know, very often what fills the hearts of men with fear and torment is the fear of the unknown. They don't know what's going to happen. And that lack of knowledge, that lack of understanding, that fear of the unknown causes torment in their heart and in their mind. But you see, when God gives us a sound mind that's instructed in His Word, the knowledge of His Word received by faith is that which subdues and conquers tormenting fear. Do you remember Paul when he was caught up in that great storm in the Mediterranean? And we're told that all hope that they should be saved was gone. The whole ship was gripped with fear and panic. What did Paul do? He stood in the midst of them and he said, "Fear not." They were filled with fear, with tormenting fear. But Paul said, he said, "Be of good cheer, For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said to me, fear not, Paul, for thou must bear witness before Caesar at Rome also. You see, the Lord had instructed him. The Lord had told him what was going to happen. The Lord had revealed his will. The Lord had said to Paul, you're going to Rome, you're going to stand before Caesar, you're going to bear witness, you're not going to perish in this shipwreck, in this storm. And the Lord said to him, fear not. Fear not. See, it's the word of God that gives us a sound mind, and it is that sound mind that conquers the spirit of tormenting fear. A mind that is instructed in the word of God. But you'll notice here in this psalm that David made his fears a matter of prayer. Here he is, and he's gripped by fear, this tormenting fear. This fear of evil, of calamity, not knowing what was going to happen, the fear of death. All this unwarranted, forbidden fear has gripped his soul. And what does he do? He makes it a matter of prayer. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You see, this text teaches us that it is possible for the people of God to be filled with tormenting fear, with the forbidden fear. And it is for that reason we find many, many times the Lord has to come and say, fear not. Fear not. Think of how many times that command is given. Fear not. That tormenting fear, that dread that agitates the soul, that fills the mind with torment. The Lord says, don't be afraid. Don't fear. But there are times when we do have those fears. And here in this psalm, David is instructing us what we ought to do. When the heart is filled with tormenting fear, we ought to make it a matter of prayer. It's only the Lord that can conquer this fear. It's not of him. But the Lord gives the spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. And it is that which drives away tormenting fear and gives us peace, perfect peace. But in order to obtain that conquest, David had to make it a matter of prayer. And so in doing so, he sets before us that path of example that we should all follow when we find ourselves filled with unwarranted fear, tormenting fear. We should bring it to the Lord, recognizing that this is not of God. Recognizing the Lord hasn't given us such a spirit of fear is a consequence of sin, consequence of the fall. But the Lord, in his mercy, has come to give us peace, to give us joy, to give us that calmness of mind and heart, that confidence. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And so we've got to make it a matter of prayer and bring it to the Lord. And like David, we will find that in seeking the Lord will hear us and he will deliver us from all our fears. From all our fears. What is it that torments your mind and heart tonight? What fear is it? Bring it to the Lord. Lay it before him. Ask the Lord to deliver you from your fears. It is not his will that we should live in a spirit of tormenting fear, gripped by these fears. But rather we should bring them to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord will hear us. And the Lord will answer us. And he will give us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. May the Lord bless his word. And may we be helped tonight. And not only tonight, but in the experience of life, in the pathway of life, may we be helped to cast all our fears upon the Lord And may we have that glorious testimony that the Lord delivered us from all our fears.